You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, time for a Wednesday episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky here with you as always, and today we are dropping part one of our chat with Anthony DeBundo, one of our good pals who works over at the Daily Orange, and of course, just recently made some waves, wrote that deep dive article on recruiting, the successes, the failures of recent years for Syracuse, and we get into all of that today, some of the reasons why recruiting has dipped rankings-wise, what to make of all of it. But before we get into our great conversation with DeBundo, a couple quick things. One, if you're new to the show, please hit subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'd really help us out. And also, don't forget to check us out on Twitter. We're keeping you guys updated over on Twitter as well. Our username is at LO underscore Syracuse, or just put Locked On Syracuse into the Twitter search bar. It should pop right up. But also, before we get to our conversation, just want to give a quick shout out to O'Shea Brissett. In case anyone missed the reports yesterday, he has turned his 10-day contract with the Pacers after starting a game and having some success into a 3-year deal in Indiana. A huge deal for him to stay in the NBA, has some job security for 3 years. So props to O'Shea. Awesome to see the success he has carved out after going undrafted and being, frankly, kind of an unheralded guy recruiting rankings-wise out of Canada. But without any more delay, let's get into more of recruiting and let's get to part one of our chat with DeBundo. And I guess, DeBundo, let's go back to the beginning a little bit before we dive into what was in this article. I'm sure an article like this takes some time to gather your sources, gather the intel on. Basically, how long have you been working on this, and what was your motivation to write a story about recruiting in the first place?
So I wanted to do a deep dive into recruiting for probably the last year and a half or so. It's been a story idea that I've always had, but never really had the time or the access to do. Because I think it's definitely, it's always something everyone is talking about. How is recruiting? Is it worse? Is it better? And I think a lot of people had the criticism that it has been worse in recent years. And it really, I think, started from there. But I didn't want to go into it with this idea that I just want to be completely negative, because it's always too complicated for any program to just attribute it to one thing or say, oh, it's all bad, especially when it is, you know, very mixed here. So I'd say about a year and a half ago was the idea. The actual reporting started in February, towards the end of February. And when I started reaching out to some people and saying, hey, would you want to talk about recruiting and, you know, what they do well and what they don't. So it was about 11 interviews in total, but most of it was done in early March before the tournament and then a little bit after the tournament.
So let's do a little inside baseball here. All right. You work for the Daily Orange. Matthew Gutierrez worked for the Daily Orange. And obviously there's a lot of mentorship within the program as you go on and on. And I know you and Goody are very close, but did you ever think you'd surpass him on Boeheim's list this year? Like, is that something that you thought was going to happen?
I don't know about that. I think it's part of being a reporter in this area. You're going to have your run-ins with Jim and anytime you're critical, he is going to fire back. That's just how he is. That's who he is. And he's well within his right to, if there are going to be things that people say that, you know, question him, he has right to come back and question back. And he went on Brent Axe's show and voiced his thoughts as the head of the program of the story and of how recruiting is. And that's fine. He wasn't petty. His criticisms were fair. I'm okay with that.
You start out the article with Isaiah Stord, and his source tells you that Syracuse really wasn't all that close to getting him. Boeheim goes on Brent Axe's show and kind of refutes that. Were you surprised when you heard Boeheim say that to Brent Axe?
I was really surprised. I went back to a source that had told me that, and they said that what Boeheim said was not true. Now, maybe he said, you know, he gave a call 15 minutes before that said, hey, just as a heads up, like, I've chosen Washington. And that was the illusion that maybe he was on the mix. Maybe, and I don't know about the second part, about what Boeheim said about how Stewart came up to him last summer and regretted the decision or apologized for not coming to Syracuse. I don't know about that, but I absolutely stand by the fact that Stewart had already made up his mind more than 15 minutes before, and it was never Syracuse in the late stages of that recruitment. The one reason, and I trust the person who told me this, was that it was the same person who told me 3 or 4 days before, when he actually committed, that it was going to be Washington. So this wasn't something that came out late. It's something that, you know, I was on the basketball recruiting beat at the time, and I never had a second source to confirm, but it was somebody who told me then, days before he committed on a weekend night, I believe, that he was going to be choosing Washington. So this was not a last second decision. And I think, you know, the Syracuse was added in additionally. It's kind of backed up. Not that I think that like Stewart should or use this eighth grade photo, you know, story that's like become folklore now, but there's almost a video where he says that he, you know, it's something he thought about and how he was really close with Hop and that, you know, him and Boeheim weren't as close. I don't know.
When you look back at everything that you did with writing this story, what was the thing that came up that you learned that was most shocking to you?
I think it was the impact of players leaving early. I don't know how you really quantify it necessarily, but I think when you recruit as a program who isn't used to these one and done, so you're not a one and done type of program, and then you get guys, you don't recruit behind them because you're expecting them to be there for 2 or 3 years. And then you go on these improbable tournament runs, and these guys like Malachi Richardson and Tyler Lydon, and before that Tyler Ennis, their stock's never going to be higher than it was at that moment. So you almost have to go and then chest to NBA waters, go pro, do whatever you can, because that's your best chance. And then all of a sudden Syracuse is left stuck where they don't have a backup or a go-getter guy that they can go rely on to get buckets like they were with Malachi and Tyler, like you call them Malachi candidates. I like that name. So I think that's really the interesting dilemma they found themselves in. And you couldn't go and find a Cole Swider level talent in the transfer portal then. And if they did, a lot of times they'd have to sit a year. So you just couldn't go replace talent like you can now.
Well, also on top of that, if you're going to find a Cole Swider level talent, you're battling with like Kentucky or Duke instead of it's a free for all where everyone there's a bunch of Cole Swiders in the portal level of talent.
Yeah, that was something that I was going to bring up was that, I don't know, it's not really a point that gets talked about a lot, is the fact that a couple guys have left the program earlier than maybe they anticipated. You bring up all these other points in the article, Hop leaving, the sanctions, those get talked about a lot. Do you feel like that storyline has maybe been overlooked a little bit?
I think a little bit. It ultimately doesn't change. It probably answers the question, why haven't the regular seasons been as good as usual? I don't know that it answers the why haven't their recruiting numbers been as good as usual. I think that's a different conversation. Syracuse will tell you that they don't care about the rankings and that they don't, that they're able to find talent that, you know, people didn't see. And that's a fair point you can make, and they can point to examples of where that is the case. Absolutely. But there is a correlation, and there's a reason the rankings are good and people tend to be right more often than not. Of course, there's misses in both directions, but there's a reason for that. And I think the numbers speak for themselves when you look at the downgrade. And I think, you know, there's a couple things. One, the college basketball landscape has absolutely changed when it comes to recruiting. Players are going to other smaller schools. Top talent is going further down, we'll call the food chain in terms of that. And the second thing is definitely Hopkins. I think the one area I really focused on was the Philadelphia connection. And when you look at the list of players they got just out of one city, and I happen to be from Philadelphia, so it kind of, I have some local ties there. When you think about that connection that has dried up, you now have Philly guys getting poached by Miami, like Lonnie Walker and Jaquan Newton back in the day, Isaiah Wong, Philly guy also. You know, these guys weren't, you know, Miami has stronger connections now. Villanova has done a much better job than it used to of patrolling its own backyard. So that's a big area they've lost. In New Jersey, all those Hop connections have really lost.
All right, quick break from Dabundo to remind you guys about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar out there and my personal favorite. Still have not wrapped my head around the fact that they taste this good and they are somehow healthy for you. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They really just have a different flavoring than all the other protein bars on the market, and they are somehow great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat because the bars are low calorie, low sugar, yet high protein and high fiber. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that promo code LOCKED15. That's locked, then 15 at the end for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
I want to bring up the New Jersey story because that's one of the parts that I found most fascinating from your entire piece. And it was basically the crux of it was that the mistreatment of Tyler Roberson has severed a lot of ties in New Jersey. I mean, was Tyler Roberson like some deity out in New Jersey that he had the ability to switch, like, where like he was to maybe say a couple bad words about his Syracuse experience, that would be a big deal? Because to me, I mean, I think about some of the recent New Jersey guys that Syracuse has gotten. I still think they have a decent amount of success there. When you think of Malachi Richardson and Tyus Battle, like those are Jersey guys that they have pulled in lately. And if those two had said something negative about the program, then I think that holds my bone. It's coming from Tyler Roberson. That kind of struck me as odd.
Yeah, I think it's, you have to really look at how recruiting works, and it's very individual for each player. So a guy like Tyus, his dad was heavily involved in the recruiting there. And it was really, you know, they weren't necessarily as involved with, you know, the kind of the AAU scene in New Jersey and what happened and how decisions are made and, you know, who goes where and who gets kind of the conversations that happen behind the scenes as far as deciding, you know, who's going to play musical chairs and go where. Roberson, you know, it's not a secret that, you know, Roberson wasn't treated that well by Boeheim. Boeheim was very critical of him in a lot of ways, and it's kind of become like a running, you know, storyline.
Yeah, the Roberson doghouse.
Right. He's on the list of players. There's a few. And I think it's not just him, but I think the Roberson story, a lot of AAU coaches for some of the bigger programs in New Jersey were not happy with Boeheim. Now, that doesn't mean that there will be no players that come from Syracuse or go from New Jersey to Syracuse. Obviously, Tyus Battle, him and his dad, you know, their family made that decision. The whole AAU community was less involved there. But it's definitely something that I was told by two people has impacted their recruiting ability in that region since, you know, 2017-18, the last 4 or 5 years.
How much do you think losing Mike Hopkins impacted that New Jersey and the Pennsylvania area? You read about it a little bit in the article, but just, is that the biggest sort of thing that they've lost? And is that the biggest reason for the recruiting dip in your eyes, Hop leaving?
That, I don't know if you can say there's one thing. And I think Hop is a big part of it. Absolutely. He was here for so long. And when I talked to Boeheim about this, Boeheim and I talked for about a half hour for the story. When I talked about it, you know, he mentioned all the other assistants they've had in Troy Weaver and, you know, Rick Pitino were the two he kind of name dropped who have gone on to obviously big things. They were never there as long as Hopkins was, 20 years, all the established connections. And he was kind of really good at the first find, and he was able to get Syracuse in early on people. And even if Boeheim is recruiting from week one, which he says he does, Hopkins making the first find, being the first coach, being the first one to make the contact, and then establishing that with Boeheim, you know, even if you say that's how that recruiting was working, them working as a team was really important, and they really counterbalance each other in a lot of ways from how they approach that kind of stuff. So I think it was a really strong connection, and I think GMAC and Red and Allen Griffin are doing a better job in the last couple of years. I'd say they're starting to maybe turn it around a bit, but I think there was a small dip and you can see that in the numbers. There was a small dip in how much high end and talent Syracuse was getting.
On the subject of Hop, I still stand, even though he's had his ups and downs out at Washington, I still stand in the camp that if he is available and if he wants the job after Boeheim, that is the guy Syracuse should go after, because of the fact that it is a lot tougher to recruit, especially when he's got a base on the East Coast. Like if he had gone to a Boston college, I think he would have had a lot more success than he would have going all the way out to Washington. Do you also believe that if Hop were to be the successor to Boeheim at whatever point that is, do you believe that that is the right call for Syracuse in getting the recruiting back to where it used to be?
Boeheim says he's around, he's going to be around, and he's going to coach as long as he can coach. So, you know, we have these discussions and we've had these discussions for so long. I just don't know, you know, what the landscape's going to look like in, you know, potentially 4 or 5 years or more, who knows, or maybe it's shorter. Obviously Boeheim has to say certain things because he needs to keep the recruiting up, but based on the classes he's bringing in and the talent he's trying to recruit for 2022, 2023, I don't think those players are coming here and agreeing right now if Boeheim isn't planning to be the coach then. So he's planning to coach. All these discussions are kind of tricky to have. I think Hop would be a good hire as a replacement for Boeheim because of those connections, but I don't know when that day is going to come. And obviously he's struggled at Washington. He's basically cleaned house. He's got a whole new assistant crew coming in there, hoping to turn around that situation that kind of got away from him a little bit in the last couple of years. But I don't know what the world's going to look like. Maybe one of the assistants is more ready in 5 years to take over and they just stay in house. I think it's a very real possibility, but we don't know what the world or the landscape's going to look like when that day comes.
Want to remind you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. They have a great interface, very easy to use. You got all kinds of MLB games that you can bet on right now, NBA, NHL, plus the NFL draft. Always fun to do those NFL draft prop bets. There's been some intriguing ones that I've been checking out on the BetOnline site. You can go over there today, sign up for your free account, and once you sign up, don't forget, we have a promo code for you. Locked On is the promo code. It's all one word, and it gets you a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit, which means if you want to put down $100 for your first deposit to play with, you get an additional $50. Whatever you put down, 50% of that is a welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use that promo code, which again is Locked On, LOCKEDON, over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So there are a couple things in this article that I feel like kind of went under the radar because there's so much in there, and a couple things that I didn't know about. One of them was you wrote about how Darius Baisley didn't tell the staff until 15 minutes before he kind of announced his decision that he was going to New Balance, I guess, in a way. And I don't know, that surprised me that it was that close to the timetable of him announcing. Do you think that that truly blindsided the staff from what you've gathered, the Darius Baisley situation?
Completely. It was actually the Thursday morning before the Final Four that year. They had just gone to the Sweet 16, of course. So we're talking 4 days after. Everyone is already on the hype train because they had won those three games in 5 days to make the Sweet 16. It was looking like they were, you know, going to have everybody coming back, which they ended up having. And then they were going to add a first round pick talent to a front court. That team would have been, you know, they ended up being ranked 16th in the preseason rankings without Baisley. I mean, they would have been very good, and that would have been their best team in terms of, you know, a combination of getting decent talent in, keeping that talent around, and then getting the elite recruit in to kind of bolster your ceiling. And that's really what the Syracuse best teams of the last 20 years have always been. When you look at the history, that was that team. And then they're all getting ready to go to the Final Four, and Griffin gets a call from Darius 15 minutes before the Shams article comes out that says, hey, he's going to the G League. He's not coming to Syracuse. That, I mean, you know, after all the work that Griff had done building up that relationship with him, and that was the number one thing. When he came into Syracuse, he already had that strong relationship with Baisley that dated back to the high school days, to the point where it was like, oh, well, you're getting Griff. Well, you know, Baisley's going to come too. And he had, you know, and I mentioned this in the story too, he had a good visit to Syracuse. He fit in well with the guys. He was gelling well. Him and Boeheim got along well. Boeheim, Baisley was shooting in the Mello Center until like after 1 a.m. one night. Like, he was loving it. And then he just decided, hey, look, I have a unique opportunity to go pro here and go make some money. And it was a good opportunity. And, you know, former staffers I talked to who were on the staff at the time were saying, like, you know, totally blindsided. They had no idea what was happening. And it's really just a case of bad luck. And that's another thing. Like, you know, there's so much random luck that comes into this too.
What are some things that you left out of the article or just couldn't quite fit in that maybe would be noteworthy as well?
Yeah.
Where did you get screwed by the editors here? Come on.
pretty much nothing. The one thing that I probably would never print, but what we'll tell you guys, because why not? We'll have this conversation. It's about paying players. And it's something that multiple people talked to me about and said, look, Syracuse doesn't do it. They don't dive into that side of things, which we know other schools do. And I'm not going to say any specific names. We know other schools do it. It's a thing that happens in college basketball. Syracuse does not do that. And it's something that, you know, when you're trying to get elite talent now, it's something that matters. And it's something that has to be considered. So, you know, that wasn't something I was going to write about because, you know, it's a little too vague and something that, you know, people told me kind of on background and were like, you know, you got to be careful how you write that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to write it, but it's something that matters. And it's something that definitely plays into the calculus of getting top elite talent. It's, you know, are you willing to bend the rules? And Boeheim is pretty steadfast that, like, you know, a Syracuse offer is really important. You should be honored that Syracuse is offering you, and you're going to take it or leave it, do whatever you want, but we're not staying above board. So that's something that matters.
That is a really interesting thing that you bring up there.
And a couple people three different people told me that too. So it's not something that like one person said and didn't know, but you know, multiple people said
was
that.
Was it prompted? Did you bring it up, or was it something they brought up?
No, I never asked about it.
That's interesting.
Something that came up. I may have asked the second or third person. The first person who said it to me, I never brought it up to me.
So when you talk about it from that lens, because obviously that's a big part of the behind the scenes of college athletics, but with name, image, likeness becoming a thing now, do you think that's going to be something that ultimately ends up helping Syracuse because the playing field is sort of leveled out now?
I hope Boeheim has been open with it. I hope he continues to be open to I hope he opens his mind to the idea of like paying players and getting involved in that, because I think that's something that, you know, one other thing people mentioned was him kind of being out of step with the average 20-year-old nowadays because of his age and because of his, you know, persona. If he's willing to, you know, cede on those kind of issues, that's absolutely a way to help the program. And if you're going to be super, you know, anti that, that could hurt the program. So he has expressed support for it. The name, image, and likeness stuff, not the paying players, which is a little different. So that's definitely a positive for Syracuse, but I don't know how much it's going to really change the whole landscape, because you could almost end up helping the smaller schools because people could build up their own brands.
All right, so we'll cut part one right there with Tabunda, but don't worry, subscribe now or follow wherever you get your podcasts, because part two, dropping tomorrow on Thursday, we'll dive more into this article, the tidbits behind it, kind of the future of Syracuse recruiting, what are some things that are changing in the college basketball landscape and the impacts of that on recruiting going forward. All that is on the show tomorrow. Thanks to Anthony Tabunda, as always, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with part two.